Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
This podcast is brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey. Native Grape Odyssey is an educational project financed by the European Union to promote European wine in Canada, Japan, and Russia. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast with me, Monty Ward. My guest today is Brandon Tebbi. Brandon is a master sommelier based in Las Vegas in the United States.
Actually, Oregon right now, Willamette Valley.
Yeah, Oregon, they downgraded you then.
Yes, I went to make wine instead of selling it, although I'm going back to selling it in Boston in about 3 weeks.
All right, so you're making wine as well, are you?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to do 16 different podcasts then on the wine growing and the Somme. Let's start with the Somme. But you are still a sommelier?
Yes.
Okay, like a sommelier for life?
Yeah.
So you, and you still are a practicing sommelier?
Yes.
Where are you from in the States, first of all?
Basically, I'll be Boston, Massachusetts in about 2.5 weeks.
And where are you from in the States? Two people divided by a common language. Where's your family from in the States?
Oh, in the States, Colorado.
Okay, so that's, you're born and raised in Colorado. How did you get into wine?
A trip to Paris, just staying in hostels and enjoying wine, which is something I wasn't accustomed to.
How old were you at the time?
26, I believe.
So was it just like a holiday, or was it, are you learning French, or your parents sent you over there as part of a school program? How did you end up in Paris?
No, nothing like that. I just got sick of being, I was in IT, got sick of sitting behind a desk all day long, so I quit my job, cashed everything out, and headed off to Europe.
So you had an IT job, and how long did you spend in France then?
About 3 weeks.
Did you start speaking French at the end of that period?
Not even close.
Not even close. I like a man who's honest. So that whetted your appetite for wine. So then what happened? You went back to the States and said, right, this is my career. I want to do this. I want to switch careers and become a wine person.
No, I actually started working in restaurants just to decide, interim, decide where I was going to end up being. And took an interest in wine. A distributor took interest in helping me further my education. Had me sit the introductory level with the quartermaster sommeliers. And I just kind of, it blew me away. All the teaching, all the knowledge, everything it took to get it, and I just kind of got hooked after that.
So the Court of Master Sommeliers, what is that?
It's an organization, probably the most prestigious in the world as far as being a sommelier, as far as restaurants, hospitality. It's probably about 40, 50 years old, based out of London, and just an incredible way to, or incredible organization really, to support this profession in particular.
So what is it like being a sommelier, the day-to-day aspects? A lot of people will think that there is a lot of glamour involved. I mean, there probably is some glamour, depending on where you're working, but there's a lot of hard grind that goes on in the background. Just give us a bit of the skinny on that side of the industry.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, it's 60, 70 plus hour work weeks. It's inventory. It's tasting and spitting and selecting wines and designing wine lists. It's training staff. It's spending our time going around. Like, I haven't actually taken a vacation in, I don't know, 12 years. Every vacation I take is always wine related, which sounds fun, but really it's winery to winery to winery and about tasting and focus. And
okay, so when you're talking about designing a wine list, are we talking about the type of paper you use, or are we actually talking about the content on that wine list? Or both?
Both, actually. I mean, I'm really big on content. My wine lists aren't just like, okay, these are the varietals, these are the wines. I actually like to have a lot of fun and put educational information or information that just draws people in.
Okay, so give me an example. I'm looking at your wine list, and I'm just saying, looking at the, I don't know, dry white wine list, for example, and I spy a couple of Italian wines on there. Am I just going to see the names of the wines, say Verdicchio or whatever it is? Am I going to see a little description? You're not going to say this is citrusy and floral or whatever. Or how does that work?
In that one, I might categorize it like streaks of green, and then I would explain what that is and talk about these are wines with herbaceousness and light green notes and minerality, and then everything that would fall under that category would be listed under there. That way, if the guest wants to understand what kind of wine they're drinking, they can read that and they can realize that anything within that list is actually going to be to their palate.
Okay, so you also then have to be flexible as well, because ultimately you want them to get the wine that you think will suit them as a human, and also will suit them in their mood as well as the food that they're eating. Is that how it works? Is that what your mindset is when you're making those decisions or comments?
Yeah, the reason why I'm doing that is I'm trying to get them to break out of the Pinot Grigio, Chardonnay, Cabernet, and try to get them to look at a selection of wines basically that's similar to what what they enjoy and to get them into something else, to get them to be adventurous, to try something new.
So, I mean, is humor part of that, or is it very serious? Are you trying
No, humor has to be part of it.
So you're gauging their personality. You may see a businessman, and maybe your pitch will be a little bit different to him or her, or businesswoman, or maybe a family, or you style how you speak and what you say to each individual person.
Most definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and what about difficult situations when, I don't know, you've described four different wines, people like, no, that one doesn't sound, can you recommend something else? Do you just keep on going?
Then you just, well, when it gets to a couple of wines, you just ask them, okay, what do you normally drink?
Right.
And then from that, you can understand what they actually want.
Okay, so you're picking up on, they say, I only drink dry white wine, and then you ask them what they drink, and they name a wine, you think, and you know that wine maybe has 3, 4, whatever it is, 5 grams of residual sugar in, so you're thinking, okay, what they really want is a wine that has obvious fruit. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, if they say they like, because a lot of people will say, oh, I like sweet wine, but that could be Sauvignon Blanc, which is obviously not sweet. So yeah, it helps me to figure out what I'm going to offer them.
Do people come in and ask for wines by manufacture? So they say, I want an organic wine or a biodynamic wine or a natural wine. Is that trend growing, or is it pretty static in your part of the industry?
I personally have never been asked for an organic wine. Once for biodynamic wine, but other than that, no, I've never.
So it's not a big thing that people are talking about. The Somme, obviously, you know, the New York Somme, you know, some of the movies that have been made recently, and this big, not craze, but this, it's a buzz term at the moment, natural, and that has largely, not all, totally, but it's been led by a groups of Somme in certain influential areas. Right. And you're saying in your part of the world, which is where you've mainly been working, which is
Oregon right now,
that hasn't really kind of transferred to that part of the U.S.
In Portland, possibly, yeah, but in like anywhere I've experienced, whether it's Colorado, whether it's Las Vegas, whether it's Portland, I personally haven't experienced that. I think Somme's really focus on it because they're looking for a quality wine to offer the guest. And I think when you look at biodynamic wines, organic wines, you're usually looking at a wine that has to be cared for more so that it doesn't end up faulted. And when they are clean, then you know they're going to be an incredible wine. So I think it's more about finding those great wines for your guests.
So you could also end up giving somebody, for example, an organic or biodynamic or natural wine, and you're just giving away. You're not telling them, oh, by the way, this is organic. You just say, you ask for a white wine with X, Y, and Z flavors. Here you are, and I hope you like it. You're not saying, oh, by the way, it's also organic or whatever.
No, I never go into that.
Yeah, okay. So you're just basically making their experience as they would like it without any rough edges, without causing any kind of doubt or fear that they feel in some way less knowledgeable than you, obviously, because they know that you're knowledgeable. And your job in that case is about feel good and interpersonal relationships. It's not about how many grams of residual sugar a wine may or may not have.
Absolutely not. My job is to get in and out seamlessly it's to make somebody's evening without interrupting their evening.
So when you're having meals, I mean, you presume you have a family with your family, yeah, and family and friends. How are they with you? Do they sort of poke fun at you in a very friendly way, I'm sure, about, oh, come on, we'll let him choose the wine because that's his job? Or do they say, no, hand me the wine list. I'm going to choose the wine.
It's pretty much all of that, actually. I get thoroughly harassed when I...
Really? Yeah, but I guess in a nice way.
Yeah. No, I'm used to it.
So, I mean, in terms of you as a character, you obviously have responsibility for your staff as well.
A lot, yeah.
What are the potential pitfalls with younger members of staff, for example, who are just entering in the industry? Is it their fear of saying a wrong comment or looking stupid because they don't have your knowledge, or are they just, you know, fearful of dropping a plate when they're walking to the table? What are their hopes and fears?
Yeah, honestly, I think the younger staff are usually pretty excited about it, and they're really wanting to learn. They ask a lot more questions than staff that's been around for a while, and you know, you have a little bit of everything. You have staff that's been around for a while and knows everything, and then you have staff that has been around for a while and is still interested in learning. It just kind of like depends on where you're working, I guess.
Sure, okay. Just a quick couple of words on your winemaking project.
Released in 2020, it's Pinot Noir. Pinot Gris, made it old school in barrel, long aging on the lees. Basically, just looking to make about 500 cases of really good wine and see if it's something I want to continue.
Which part of Oregon?
Willamette Valley.
Okay, whereabouts exactly in the Willamette?
It's being made up at Holleran Winery. Mark up there is an amazing winemaker.
But I mean, in terms of styling it, you're gonna sell me your wine. And what am I? Is it a blockbuster? Were they blockbuster wines? Oaky? Are they mineral driven?
Definitely not about the oak. The Pinot Noir is really indigenous fermentation. It was about trying to draw out complexity. It was really about trying to make a wine that represents not just the terroir, but the microbial terroir.
Well, that's interesting.
And it's...
I'd like to hear about that. That's a good one.
I mean, for me, terroir has to be everything. You've got the bloom that's coming in on the grapes, and if you're not utilizing that, then how can you speak of terroir? Because that's all part of it. With the whites, it was about using Pinot Gris and trying to find an interesting way to express it. So there was a little bit of carbonic, a little bit of cold soak to draw out some color, some flavors. There was two different ways to press, one through soft, slow pressing, one up to 2 bar, really, really hitting it hard, and then micro ox, and all into barrel, grosslies, everything natural. And I picked based on pH, not based on brick, so I wasn't looking for sugar. I was looking for wines that would be stable. I don't have to worry about them in barrel.
Okay, so unfortunately, your Oregon project, I'm going to close it down, and I'm going to say, unfortunately as well, you are now going to have to move to Italy. But you can choose where you go, and where you go, you must make at least one wine. Where are you going to go, and which wine would you choose to make?
Barolo.
Okay.
Definitely Barolo.
I actually had $3,500 on that as a bet.
I imagine that.
And I can now retire from the podcast, which will be a relief for many of my listeners, and enjoy a very happy life, just me and my dog. Sorry, Barolo. So in terms of Barolo, what style of Barolo and what kind of terroir would you be looking for?
I like the traditionalists. I like extended aging. I like Barolos that have to soften with time so I can drink them when they're older. I love wines with age. Everyone always asks, what do you like to drink? I like vintage because you can taste history. As far as structure and soil, I usually look at like Serra Lunga. Actually, really, I look at pretty much anywhere in Barolo because I love the wines. If I want to drink a little early, I look at Lamora, I look at Barolo. If I want to age it for a while, I'll look at Monforte or Serra Lunga.
Okay, one final question. We've got a bottle of your Nebbiolo in our hands. So we're in Barolo. You've transferred there. I come and see you. You're excited about showing me your wine. And we're going to have a meal. Just one dish, un piatto solo. What are we going to eat?
Do braised lamb leg with wild mushroom risotto, freshly shaved Alba truffles.
Okay, so a light dinner then.
Excellent.
I mean, you're a big lad, so you're a strong lad. You look like an American footballer. You've got broad shoulders.
Rugby.
Oh, you play rugby, do you?
Yeah, well, I'm a little old now, so yeah.
No, yeah, you look about 5. You got a baby face.
Yeah, I'm 40 years old.
40?
40, yeah.
Yeah, well, you're looking good, man.
Old boy squad. So.
Keep drinking the red wine.
Exactly.
I want to say thanks to my guest today, Brendan Tebbe, from the Court of Master Sommeliers, a sommelier and winemaker. Congrats. Yeah.
Thank you.
Great talking to you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Cool. Good luck with your endeavours.
This podcast has been brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey, discovering the true essence of high-quality wine from Europe. Find out more on nativegrapeodyssey.eu. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.